1128 in the church Bibles. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who, as to his human nature, was a descendant of David, and who, through the Spirit of holiness, was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, and for his name's sake, we received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith. And you also are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. And it's Matthew 1, verses 18 to 25 on page 965 of the Church Bibles. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came to be about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Do please be seated. In November this year, Oxford Dictionaries announced that post-truth was their word of the year for 2016. And this expression was first coined in 2010, but it's become increasingly prevalent in recent months, especially in connection with Brexit and the recent presidential election in the USA. And the definition of post-truth, for those of you who are not familiar with it, is this: relating to or denoting circumstances in which objective facts are less influential in shaping public opinion than appeals to emotion and personal belief. In other words, truth has become secondary in shaping what people believe, even when they are shown that what they believe is wrong. The journalist and critic George Orwell said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those that speak of it." Maybe we should change that to say, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will ignore those that speak it." In Orwell's book, 1984, he wrote about a world where the state kept changing its records to fit its propaganda. In today's post-truth world, it no longer seems necessary to do this. Instead, the facts are simply glossed over and ignored. And this isn't just happening in the UK and the USA. It's a growing worldwide phenomenon, fueled by access to 24-hour news, a false balance in news reporting, and the ever-increasing influence of social media. And it's a dangerous world where decisions are simply made on the basis of emotion, where facts carry little or no importance. When I think of my own life and the decisions that I have made, particularly when I was younger, in many instances, if I had just followed my emotions, I would have got into all sorts of trouble. And we ignore truth at our peril, not just in politics, but in every arena of life. And Joseph certainly needed to hear God's truth as he weighed up what he should do about Mary. Who knows what might have happened had he just acted on his emotions? For Mary had told Joseph that she was expecting a baby. How could this be? How could Mary have shamed him like this? Joseph knew that the baby wasn't his, for although they were pledged to be married, he hadn't slept with Mary, and nor would he until their wedding night. Being pledged was a far more binding agreement than a modern engagement. Deuteronomy 22, 23 to 24 refers to a betrothed virgin as a wife, and Matthew 1, 19 describes Joseph as a husband. But Mary wasn't a wife in every respect, nor was Joseph a husband, for sexual intimacy was not allowed during this waiting period. And Matthew emphasizes this when he adds the words in 1:18, before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. It's all very mysterious. Who found Mary to be pregnant? Did she tell her mother first? Or did she confide in Joseph? It's all right, Joseph. An angel told me this is God's baby. Whoever would believe a story like that? Well, Mary obviously did. Was she out of her mind? Was this something that she had made up to cope with everything that had happened? And yet, this didn't seem to be compatible with the Mary that Joseph knew and loved. She wasn't the sort of girl to fantasize about this kind of thing. Yet how could it possibly be true? This must have been Joseph's worst nightmare. He had to make some sort of decision before the pregnancy became too obvious. The penalty for adultery was stoning. If Joseph said the word, Mary would die. Matthew 1:19 tells us that Joseph was a righteous man. In other words, a good Jew, zealous in keeping the law. No one would condemn him for doing what the law required. Yet, Joseph held back. He didn't want Mary to undergo such suffering. And Deuteronomy 24 permitted a man to divorce if he discovered something indecent about his wife. Joseph wondered, would this be the best thing to do? Would it be best if he signed the papers quietly so that their betrothal could be terminated discreetly? Mary would still be disgraced, but as a single woman, she might hopefully avoid the death penalty. Clearly, Joseph didn't just want to do the right thing. He also wanted to do the kind thing. He didn't respond with a knee-jerk reaction, unlike many leaders on the world's political stage. Instead, he took time to consider the various possibilities. Matthew 1:20, after he considered this, clearly Joseph's instinct was to protect Mary, and by doing this, Joseph was also protecting her baby. But God wanted Joseph to do more than simply allow Mary to live. He wanted Joseph to marry her. For Mary needed someone who would love her, who would look after her, and who would protect both her and the baby. Jesus' safety depended on it. Moreover, Joseph would give Jesus a legal bloodline that stretched back to King David, thus fulfilling the many prophecies about Messiah in Scripture. But Joseph seemed to have put the possibility of marriage onto the back burner. And it occurred to me, wouldn't it just have been easier if Gabriel had appeared to Joseph at the same time as he did to Mary? Wouldn't that have made his life far less complicated instead of placing him in this agonizing position? But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that a joint revelation might have compromised Mary's freedom to decide for herself. She might have deferred the decision to Joseph when God needed Mary to speak for herself. And couples often process things in different ways. God was taking account of Joseph needing time to mull over all the issues. And this period of testing also proved Joseph's character. It shows how much he loved Mary, and I've already mentioned his instinct to protect her. And it also demonstrated his inner strength, which would be needed if he was to cope with everything that came their way in the future. And it showed he was the kind of man to be trusted with such a significant commitment. But Joseph could hesitate no longer. It was time for God to speak, to tell Joseph the truth. Because in a world of uncertainty, whether this is a world 2,000 years ago or whether now, what we actually need to hear is the truth. Matthew 1:20, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife. For a first time, we get a hint about the background forces at work in Joseph's mind. He was afraid of believing Mary when she said God was the father of her child, afraid of trusting that she loved him when all the evidence suggested that the opposite was true. Matthew says Joseph wanted to avoid exposing Mary to public disgrace. But what about Joseph? God's words reveal his vulnerability, how he might have been afraid of Mary's shame rubbing off on him, and the humiliation he might have to endure within their community if he took her as his wife. Fear is such a powerful force. It can fill our minds with doubt. It can make us act hastily or unwisely, or it can paralyze us so that we do nothing at all. We may not even be aware of how deeply fear is at work within us. Fear of failure, fear of embarrassment, fear we won't be accepted. Others may see our outward confidence, but God knows what we're like on the inside. And God knew that Joseph's deepest response to Mary's situation was fear. So he dealt with this first. Do not be afraid. And I'm sure that at that very instant, as God spoke directly to Joseph, his mind was filled with peace, so that he was actually able to receive and process everything that God said next. Only then does God give Joseph the facts. What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. 2, she will give birth to a son. 3, you are to give him the name Jesus. 4, he will save his people from their sins. The angel's words confirmed everything that Mary had said. The baby she was carrying really was from God, the Messiah, God's Savior. How awesome was that? What had once appeared to be the most horrendous news was actually the best news of all. Earlier this week, I saw an article on Facebook about it. Facebook's wonderful. I get all sorts of stuff for my sermons from Facebook. It was about a church in Adelaide whose Christmas banner has attracted a lot of attention. For the sake of those listening on the web, it says, you're engaged, your fiancé is pregnant, and you're not the father. What a Christmas. And the pastor of the Trinity City Church has explained that the banner is designed to make people stop and think about the birth of Jesus, which was a scandal in its time. And he said that reactions to the new sign had ranged from shock to amusement, including someone who rang him, concerned that the church was endorsing a man getting his girlfriend pregnant and not taking responsibility. Other people had been left wondering whether Trinity City Church was offering counseling to couples expecting a baby out of wedlock. The man in the picture is beaming from ear to ear. And given the situation that's described on the banner, his expression is rather shocking, it's surprising. But actually, it is very appropriate, because God had told Joseph that Jesus would save his people from their sins. And the pastor of Trinity City concluded, this is why Joseph is depicted with such a happy face on our advertising. Firstly, the ad has succeeded in getting people to talk about Jesus. But secondly, the first Christmas was shocking and messy and complicated for everyone involved, like so many of our Christmases. Despite the mess, Here was the miracle. God had come to save his people from their sins. And this was the truth that revolutionized Joseph's life. From that moment on, his life was changed, for God now invited him to become part of his amazing salvation plan. Take Mary home as your wife. Give the child the name Jesus. And Joseph's response was immediate, Matthew 1:24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel had commanded him. So what about us? Well, as I prepared this sermon, I wondered whether some of you are facing an apparently insoluble problem. You can see no way out. It looks impossible. You are stuck between a rock and a hard place. Joseph couldn't see the way ahead. He absolutely couldn't see the way ahead, but God showed him that there was a solution. God could see the sticking point that was preventing Joseph from moving forward, his fear. Maybe God is telling you not to be afraid. Ask him to show you what is blocking the way, and you may be surprised by what he says. It was God's truth that convinced Joseph, and this is the truth that we still need to hear in our messy and complicated post-truth world. And I use that expression advisedly because God's truth still stands. It will stand forever. Like Joseph, we have something to smile about. Like Joseph, we have good news to share. The Savior of the world is born. Jesus, Messiah, who is himself the way, the truth, and the life. And for everyone who's prepared to listen, just like Joseph, their lives will never be the same again.